Well, where we've come to in the book of Joshua, I want you to look with me at chapter 11, verse 23. This is sort of a starting point, but it's also a summary point to what we've gone through so far. It says, "So Joshua took the whole land, according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war." So here you see the summary of that their wars have ended, the land has been conquered. That doesn't mean there still is some more ground that needs to be taken. We'll see that later. Maybe if you just glance real quickly at chapter 13 and verse 1, it says Joshua was old and stricken in years. And at the end of the verse, it says, "Yet very much land there remaineth, yet very much land to be possessed." And so we're down to the point in where the battling for the land has essentially been—it's over. I mean, they've been victorious; the victory has been won. There's still some areas that some mop up, if you will. There's still some areas they need to go in and possess and conquer in a sense, but all of the threats have been subdued and all of the land has been essentially conquered. And so we've come from the time where it was Joshua the general to now Joshua the administrator. And let's face it, wars are exciting in a sense. You know what I mean? I mean, I know that's kind of an odd statement. You say, well, they're ugly. Yes, that's true. But isn't it true that, like, when I think of, you know, you have to forgive me, I grew up in the United States, and the presidents of the United States that we all know from history are the ones that were in presidency during war times, basically. That's why we remember. Well, George Washington, he was, of course, easy because he was the first one. But then you remember Abraham Lincoln because the Civil War happened, right? We remember Franklin Roosevelt because World War II was going on when he was president. And those ones stand out because they were presidents during war. Another name that you might know is Woodrow Wilson. He's maybe not as well known as Franklin Roosevelt, but he was the president during World War I. And so those ones, but if I was to say, do you know who, Lester Pearson or some of these other, you know, forgotten presidents, they're forgotten to most of us because, frankly, wasn't anything really exciting going on in their days. But that isn't to say that what they, you know, they administrated, there were some other important things that happened, right? And so you understand what I'm trying to get at. I'm getting at the fact that the first 10 chapters, and really in chapter 11, there is some more battling going on, but we've looked at this long enough that I'm going to move forward. But when we come to Joshua the administrator, and here we see that the battles are over at the end of chapter 11, and it says that Joshua gave it to, or for an inheritance. So what we've come to is the dividing up the land for an inheritance to every tribe. And so, like, if you just looked at chapter 12 and you get down to verse number 9, you'll notice there's just a whole list of kings that were conquered and so on. And then in chapter 13, there are the divvying up of the land and the borders and this kind of thing. In chapter 13, chapter 14, and it goes on, where they're dividing out the land to the different tribes. Now, that's not as exciting, that's not as interesting, but it is very important. It's important because they have won the victory, but what good is the victory if they don't then establish themselves in the land and set up a godly society and build homes and teach their children of the things of the Lord, as God told them back in Deuteronomy chapter 5, that all of these commandments from Moses, they were to teach to their children, and they were to set up a tabernacle and an altar and establish the worship of God. And so really the victory, all of the battling, was to get to this point where now in this land that God had promised to Abraham, now a godly society could be established. And even though it's maybe not as exciting, it's equally important and relevant that they do divvy out the land, they establish the land, and they set up a place where God is going to be worshipped and honored in this land. And so I just want you to think about the thought, what do we do with victory? You know, because God gives us some victories in life, and then it's important, what do we do after that? It's important as well. Now, the dividing of the land teaches us a couple of lessons. I have 2 points today. It's going to be a really simple outline, a very simple message. I want us to see a thought, a lesson on inheritance and possessions. There's a thought of inheritance and possessions. And that really comes from these chapters that we won't go through them verse by verse, but really chapters 12, 13, 14. And then there's a lesson, secondly. The first one's sort of a general lesson. So it's like looking from the 30,000 foot view, generally a lesson on possessions and inheritance. And then we come to hone in on one character in chapter 14, and we sang about him a minute ago. His name is Caleb. And Caleb said, I want that mountain. And we're going to look at Caleb, and from Caleb we'll learn a lesson on faith and wholehearted commitment. And so that's our two lessons this morning. And with that introduction, let's have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll give you those two thoughts, all right? Our Father, we come now to ask for your help. Now that we sort of laid the groundwork of what we're looking at in the Bible, there's lots of verses. We won't get to read them all, but these two basic lessons, Father, I pray that you'd help us to be able to not only learn, but to see that, Lord, these things are relevant for our lives, and that it could be helpful to us, for every one of us. And I know, Lord, you've put this in my heart. Maybe there's a particular person or a group that specially needs this message. And I just pray that you would help us, Lord, all to receive it, and that you'd have your way and do your work in our heart during this time. And we'll praise you for that, Lord. We do thank you for how you love us, how you feed us, the scriptures that you've given to us. And Lord, thank you for allowing us to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so these lessons, number one, about the general lesson about inheritance and possessions. Now, without going into the details of it, we saw that they were to divide the land. There were 12 tribes, and that the land was being divided out. Now, you might remember that there were 2.5 tribes that already had asked permission from Moses to inherit land on the other side of the Jordan River. You remember that? The tribe of Reuben and Gad and half of Manasseh. And so they already had some land over there. They had already conquered earlier two kings, Og and Sihon, I think it is, or I forget the king's names. But anyway, they were remember, those are the lands. Anyhow, they conquered them, and they had that land, but they came with the other tribes to take care of the battles inside the land of Canaan and on this side of the Jordan River. Now the battling's done. They're going to go back over across the river again and take possession of the land they had already inherited. And now there's these other tribes, so that leaves 9.5 tribes left to divide out the land to them. And as they do that, God had given commandment to Moses back in Numbers chapter 26. Maybe I'll read that for you. I have them in my notes. You don't have to turn to it. But Numbers chapter 26, they numbered the people. So they counted the tribes to see, and every tribe had a particular amount of people in them. Some were larger tribes, some were smaller tribes, and so on. And it says this in verse 53, it says, unto these the land shall be divided for an inheritance according to the number of names. To many thou shalt give the more inheritance, and to few thou shalt give the less inheritance. To every one shall his inheritance be given according to those that were numbered. So we're going to look at that more in a few minutes about what that was about. But also, back in the verse we read, I think in chapter 11 and verse 23, it talked about it being divided by lot. I don't see it in that verse, but maybe I don't have it written down which verse it was. But you know that you already know that how the land was divided out. Essentially two ways. First of all, there was the casting of the lot, right? Those of you who, if you're familiar with that in the scripture, what is the casting of a lot? I don't exactly know what the lots were, but they would cast these lots, and it was sort of a chance. It would be kind of like what we would say drawing straws, you know. And if you drew the short straw, I guess you're it, or something like that. I don't know how that works exactly. Or sometimes we flip a coin, you know, heads, you have this, or tails, I have it, and that kind of thing. That's basically what it meant to cast lots. They rolled the dice. However the lot landed determined who got that piece of land. And so this is the way they were to divide the land, was by lot. They were given this portion of land for an inheritance for their tribe. All right, so I want you to just picture that in your mind. Think about that for a second, because there's a lesson there. But one of the thoughts is that while they were battling, while they were warring in the land, they didn't know which part of the land was going to be theirs. The lots hadn't been cast yet; they hadn't been divvied up yet, and so it wasn't like they were, you know, in the battle saying, okay, now this land, this is for our tribe, and you know, maybe they would have fought differently, or maybe they would have, you know, let's not knock that house down because, you know, that's kind of a nice one or something. I don't know what all that would have involved, but it wasn't known when they were fighting. And so, I mean, right there is a little bit of a lesson to start with, is that, you know, their job was to battle for the Lord. Their job was just to win, you know, fight for the victory and leave the reward up to God, right? And so when it comes to, when we think about inheritance, when we think about possessions, God has given us an inheritance in a sense. Now and I'm not just talking about heaven and, you know, we're joint heirs with Christ. If you're saved, that's true. But I'm talking about here in this world, in this land that we live. God has given all of us certain possessions and let's just say a life. You know, our life here is our lot in life, if you will, right? And so God gives us that. And by the casting of the lot, it seems very random. It just seems, you know, like by chance. You know, they cast the lot and nobody knows how it's going to land. It's not rigged. It's just that way. And wherever it lands, it could be the tribes are there waiting to see, oh, this time, you know, the wheel goes around, boom, it's Issachar. You know, this is your part. However that worked. But what I want you to think about is it seemed random. It seemed just coincidence. It seemed by chance, right? And from our perspective, certainly that's true. But listen to this verse in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 33. Proverbs 16:33 says this: "The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord." So here's the thing I want you to get and understand just for a moment, is that your lot in life, it may seem random, and I'm talking about the things that, you know, you don't have any control over. You didn't choose who your parents would be. You didn't choose what land you would be born into. It just seems completely random, right? It just seems like it was just by chance this is where I happened to end up. But understand that even though from our perspective it seems very random, God is in control of that, right? We understand that, I think. God is sovereign over that, and God, He knows the casting of the lot in the lap, it's a random thing, but God is disposing it. And so don't you imagine that when they divided the land to every one of these tribes, that the lot was random, but God gave them the place where He wanted them, what would fit for them, where it was suited for them? And so just understand that, first of all, that when it comes to our inheritance and the things that we, you know, we really didn't have much control or say in, you know, how tall I am, I didn't have anything to do with that. What color my eyes are and those kind of things, what color my skin is, I didn't have anything to do with that. It just was what God gave me. And so what is the first lesson? This is very practical, very simple lesson. The first lesson is that whatever the lot is that God gave you, and it may seem just so random and by chance, but the Lord's put you there. And what our lesson is, what our job is to accept it. That's what I'm trying to say to you this morning, is accept the inheritance that God's given you. And accepting that, we're not to look over the fence and, you know, see the greener grass on the other side and you know, and like the putting it in the story here, it's not for the tribes to look over the fence and say, well, how come I got this land on top of the mountain and they got that fertile valley down there? Or how come we have our tribe, we're inland here, landlocked, and they're on the sea, they're on the coast. That was not their thing, was not to look over on the other side and pay attention to what other people had. What they were to do is accept what God had given them. And the lesson for you and I is simple, but it's important for us to remember that, you know, it's always easier to look over the other fence and think that, you know, somebody else has it better than we do. Or, I wish that I had this ability, or I wish I had that ability. But God put me here, God gave me this, and I need to accept that. Be content with that. To just understand that that's what the lot in life God has given me. So number one, it's by lot, and we need to accept it. Number two, it was by size. I read for you in Numbers chapter 26, where he says that it was to be divided according to the size of the tribe. Now, that might seem like, well, how does that work? Because he did it by lot, and then that was random. But God was controlling that. And, you know, but he told them they were to adjust it for size compared, you know, as to the number that was in the tribe. And so that's the way the land was, the inheritance was divided. Did you know that God did not make all of us the same size? Perhaps you've noticed. But I'm not talking about physically. There's ways in which, God has made some bigger, larger, in areas of talent. You know what I mean? This is one we talk about because it's so distinct in our family. Half of the family are musical, the other half are not. And so, you know, some have a musical ability. I didn't inherit that. Some have, some have a great ability mentally. The mental acumen to think and, you know, and brilliance and stuff like that. I didn't really inherit that either. But you know, we're not all the same size in these areas, right? And so again, one time Joshua and I don't know why we discussed this once, but I remember him asking me, maybe we were listening to somebody singing, and he said, if you could have anybody's singing voice in the world, like anybody, whose voice would you want? And I don't even remember who I said. I kind of like Tennessee Ernie Ford or somebody, you know, he's got that deep voice and stuff. But, but the thing is, you have the voice God gave you. And you need to accept it. Accept it and then recognize it and then steward it or use it. And that, so in other words, it's not up to us to envy others. It's up to us to understand this is what God has given me, and He's made me unique, and I may not have what other people have, but I have this, and this I'm to use for God. That's really the lesson of inheritance and possessions, is that wherever the lot landed for you, and God gave you that, then accept that, be content with that, but also understand that this is what God has given you to use for His glory, right? I mean, He gave one man, in the parable, He gave one man 10 talents, He gave one 5 talents, He gave one talent. It wasn't for the man with 5 talents to copy what the guy with 10 talents did or try to match what he did. He was just to use the 5 talents God gave him for the glory of God. Right? We understand that? So that's really the lesson of inheritance and possessions for us, is that we should accept what God has given us, use what God has given us for His glory. Look down at, I have it written in here somewhere, chapter 13, verse 14. I want to show you this just for a moment. Chapter 13, verse 14. Because there was one tribe that did not get any land. Did you know that? Does that seem fair? One of the tribes didn't get any inheritance of land. Who were they? Look at verse 14. Only unto the tribe of Levi he gave none inheritance. The sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel made by fire are their inheritance, as he said unto them. So if you were of the tribe of Levi, when they were out there casting the lots and dividing out the land, you stood back and your lot never came because you didn't have one. And you know, the Levites could have looked over the fence and said, "Wow, look at that big piece of land. We don't have any land." They could have looked on the other side and, "Wow, look at that small piece of land. We don't have any land." And they could have thought, you know, I would like to have a garden somewhere. I would like to have, you know, some inheritance. My children aren't going to have any land in their inheritance. You know, what do I have? What do I get? Well, I get, oh yeah, we get to represent the Lord. That was their inheritance. Their inheritance was to represent God, to offer the sacrifices, to go into the temple on behalf of the people, to go to the people on behalf of God. That was their lot. That was their inheritance. And they were to use it for the glory of God. And so, whether the Lord has given you a large inheritance or a small inheritance or no inheritance, as far as material things are concerned, you have what God gave you to serve Him with. That's the point of possessions and inheritance. So quit focusing on what you didn't get, but focus on what God did give you and glorify Him with it. Now we'll move to the second lesson. There's a specific lesson. This is in chapter 14. It's a specific lesson about faith and wholehearted conviction. And in chapter 14, let's read a little bit so you can see the story. In verse number 1, it says, these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for an inheritance to them. By lot, there it is, was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for 9 tribes and for the half tribe. And for Moses had given the inheritance to the 2 tribes on the other side. We already mentioned that. Let's go to verse 4. For the children of Joseph were 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities. So he mentions this again. They gave them some cities to dwell in, and their suburbs for their cattle. So they did have a place, but they didn't really own it. It was just sort of, they were renting. They were sort of, in other words, in the other tribe, let's say this province, this part of land belonged to Ephraim, all right? And Ephraim had so many cities that they would let the Levites live in. And every tribe did that. That's where the Levites lived, is in amongst the people, which is kind of an interesting thing. He wanted the men of God dispersed among the people. So they were there in every tribe. So they did have to travel to Jerusalem, but there was also Levites in their towns, you know. That's just a thought. But anyway, where are we? Oh, verse 5. And the Lord, that's what the Lord commanded. All right, verse 6. The children of Judah came unto Joshua and in Gilgal, and Caleb, here's our guy here, Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Do you know how old that is? 85 years old. He's 85. He said this was 45 years ago. When I was 40. And do you remember this, Joshua? I mean, Caleb's, you know, he's telling him. He's like, Joshua, you remember? God sent me and you and 10 others, and we went and spied out the land. And you and I, we knew that this land, it was the land God had for us, and we were to conquer it. And you know, we were doing this for God, and we were going to be victorious. We knew that this was something we were to do, and we could do with God's power. But the other spies, the 10 others, remember, Joshua, they said, no, we look like grasshoppers. We're going to get squashed. We can't go into the land. We'll never be able to beat these people. And so they came back and they melted the heart. They discouraged them and they said, we can't go in. And that's why they stayed in the wilderness 40 years, right? But now Caleb and Joshua are in the land, and Caleb says, but you remember, Joshua, back there 45 years ago, when Moses said that because we wholeheartedly followed the Lord, because we believed God, God was going to give us the inheritance where we walked, the places we'd gone, where we saw, that was going to be for us and for our children. And he says, God has kept me alive. I'm still as strong. I mean, can you imagine this guy? He's 85. He says, I'm as strong as I was when I was 40. And I'm ready to go take some land, you know, for my inheritance. And verse 11, he says, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As the strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and come in. And so he says basically what the song says, I want that mountain. And there was giants, you know, it talks about in the song, there's giants in the land. There were the Anakims. There were sort of giant people. They were dwelling in the mountain of Hebron, and that's where Caleb says, "I want to go, and I'm going to conquer that land." And God is just as able today, just as much as we had the strength to do it back then, and we believe that. I believe that God can just as easily give me the strength today, and I can go up there and take the mountain. It'd be an uphill battle. There's giants to face, but hey, I'm 85, but none of that counts. Because God's going to give me that land. He promised it to me. That's a pretty big lesson of faith and wholehearted conviction. I wrote down a couple things to think about when we think about the lesson here. When it comes to faith and wholehearted conviction, number one, I put down it's a personal choice. It's a personal choice. I can't make that choice for you. Nobody else can infuse into you that faith, that trust in God and the desire, the conviction in your heart to go and believe God for the promise. It's a personal decision. 12 people saw the same land, had the same information. All 12 of those spies knew the promise of God. Moses had clearly delineated that to them. They saw the land. They came back with the grapes. Remember, they had to carry on a pole between two people. There were so much grapes and the milk and honey flow, the grapes of escrow grow and all that. And they saw all that. All 12 of them had the same information. But that information didn't make a difference in 10 of their lives. There were only two that took that information and said, "We trust God." And so, even in the church, there's a lot of people here that know basically the same information about the Bible. You have the same Word of God. You've read it just like we have, and you've heard the messages and all of these things. But it's up to you individually to believe, to respond, to trust. And not everyone in this room, sad to say, and I don't, maybe this isn't true, and it'd be wonderful if it wasn't true, but it's often true that not everybody sitting in the congregation is going to be like Caleb. Matter of fact, not only was his choice a personal choice, it was a minority choice. He was in the minority. When everyone else, you know, it's easy to trust God and, you know, have lots of faith when everybody else is going along too. But when you have to do it alone, that's when it becomes more difficult. Not only was it a minority choice, it was a heart choice. He said he believed with all of his heart. He was wholehearted in it. And I already said it wasn't a head choice. It wasn't just about the information, but from his heart he believed. And it wasn't a head choice, nor was it a hereditary choice. Some people, they say, "Well, I go to church because we've always gone to church. My family goes to church, and that's what we do." Where I come from, I'll just use my family. My family, they were Methodist. I'm a renegade. They said, "I'm born Methodist, I'll die Methodist, I'm always a Methodist." And there's a lot of people in churches like that, you know what I mean? And I'm not preaching against Methodists or Baptists or anything. I'm just saying they're just there because they were born that way, that's what they do. But Caleb's choice wasn't hereditary. It came from his heart. It came from faith in God. And it was a personal choice. Because it's okay to have, it's fine if you were born and grow up in a good church, that's good. But what if you were born and grow up in a Jehovah's Witness church? What if you're born and grow up Muslim? What if you grow, then you need to make a choice that matches up with God. And so it has to be a personal choice. It's not a hereditary, it's not a head choice, it's a heart choice. It's a minority choice. And it was a sustaining choice. It was a sustaining choice in that now 30 or 45 years have passed and Caleb never lost that faith. Caleb never let go of that promise. He waited a long time. And really, we've talked about this on Thursday night about faith. But faith that, it's easy to believe. But this wasn't a faith that was just stirred up in a moment. You know what I mean? Sometimes you have a revival meeting and preaching happens. And people get emotionally stirred up. And they make a commitment. They say this. But then 2 weeks later, it all fizzles away. But this was a sustaining choice of faith that 45 years in waiting is still strong. You see that? And so our faith should be, it never wanes when days turn to months and months turn to years and years turn to decades. We still have the same faith. Caleb was sustained in the mundane season of life. Caleb was sustained in his faith in the midnight season of his life. He was 84 years old, and he wasn't quitting. I'm just going to close with this thought. But when we have a wholehearted commitment and a faith in God, that not only doesn't ever end, but that never ends. Even it doesn't get old when we get old. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you get close to the finish line, that's not when you slow down. You run through the finish line, right? And so some of us, you know, we get old, and sometimes in our faith we get tired and we say, well, you know, I've served the Lord. Now it's somebody else's chance to do it. And you know, we get into this sort of retired Christian mentality. And I'm not saying that sometimes, you know, it's okay. Yes, some young people need to get in the battle too, and they need to serve the Lord. But just because I'm getting older, just because my hair is turning grayer, doesn't mean that I need to stop. Doesn't mean I need to slow up. Caleb says, I'm 84, but God's got just as much strength in me as He had back in when I was 40. And so I'm going to keep on, and I'm just going to wait. When I cross that finish line, then I'll rest, but not until. And that's such a, you know, a challenge to all of us. You say, well, I only have a few years left. Yeah, but you have a few years. I only have a few months left. Well, you have a few months. I only got a few days left. Well, you got a few days. What are you going to do with them? We need to continue to walk in faith, continue to live for the Lord. And so these are the lessons I see in these chapters about possessions, about inheritance. Accept what God's given you. Don't worry about what others have. Just know what God gave you, He gave to you so that you can use that life to serve Him. And then determine by faith. Make a choice in your heart to trust God, and that faith will sustain and grow and all the way throughout your whole life. That you don't let up. That you serve the Lord. That you be faithful. That's what's required, and the steward is to be found faithful. And so I just encourage you this morning, be faithful. Be faithful in the lot that God gave you. Inside those boundaries, you serve God, be faithful all the way to the end. Let's stand together.